Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning. I hope things are going well for you. Pastor Jeff here, and this is Real Truth for Today on AFR Talk. And I want to ask you this question. What do you think of when you think of God? You know, it was A.W. Tozer, the theologian, who made the statement, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, because God is the most important person in the universe. History is all about His story. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He's our redeemer. And He is the one that we're going to have to give an account of our lives to Him at the last day and on the last day. So what comes into your mind when you think about God? Now, I think that if you had a rough childhood, I was having lunch with a friend yesterday, and he said, my dad and I didn't get along growing up. We always had a kind of a contentious relationship. That's not his word, but that was kind of how I read between the lines. And so if you had that kind of relationship with your dad that maybe seemed strained, it's probably going to carry over in how you see God. You know, some people see God as stern. They see God as sour. They see God maybe as disinterested because their dad seemed disinterested in their lives. Maybe they see God as the one who's impossible to please. No matter how hard I try, I just can't please God. Maybe they see God as angry. You know, when you're around God, you better walk on eggshells, because you do one thing wrong and He's going to whap. He's going to smack you. He's got he sits on His throne. He's got a bag of thunderbolts in one hand and a billy club in the other. And the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that He might find somebody having fun and whack them. That's how lots of people see God. Well, how are we supposed to see God? I talked about this a little bit on Easter Sunday, and I used that quote from A.W. Tozer. What we think of when we think of God is really the most important thing about us. And so what do you think of when you think of God? And where do we get these thoughts? God is not our dad. God is who He is. I am, as He told Moses at the burning bush, I am who I am. So you're not going to get the proper view of who God is. Just cook it up out of your own mind. You're not going to get that from creation, although we can learn some things about God. He's very ordered and things like that from creation. But we have to get the heart of God from the Scripture. What does the Bible tell us about God? Now, some people have said, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament is very judgmental and wrathful and mean and cruel and genocidal. And the God of the New Testament, Jesus, is kind and compassionate and gracious. But God is the same God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus Christ is God, the second person of the Trinity. God exists in Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. And we get that from Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And we read in the very first chapter that God is speaking to Himself, and He uses the plural us, because God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, you know, you have the four Gospels. John is different from Matthew, Mark, and
not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do.
Okay, I'm back. I got lost. the Bible says of Jesus, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So when you read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, well, who's in that? Well, Jesus, because nothing came into being that has come into being apart from Him, apart from the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, what do we see in Scripture concerning who God really is? Because God is not who you want Him to be. He's not who you necessarily believe Him to be. If you cook it up out of your own mind and heart, He is the God who is. And this is what the Lord says about Himself. Exodus 34. I think this is a passage of Scripture that every Christian needs to memorize and needs to have in his or her heart and review it on a regular basis. You know, this is Moses. The background is Moses says to the Lord, "Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your glory." And the Lord says, well, I'll let all my goodness pass before you, and I'll show you the edges of my glory. I'll show you the backside of my glory. No man can see my face and live. And so he, Exodus 34, he puts Job in the cleft of the rock, as the song says, and he hides him there with his hand, and he passes by before him. And it says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. So Moses was praying, and the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. This is what God says of Himself. This is God's resume, so to speak. The Lord, it's all in caps in the New American Standard Bible, which means anytime Lord, all in caps in the Old Testament, that's Yahweh, YHWH, the holy personal name of God. The Lord God, Yahweh, Elohim. He is it. He is God. There is no other. And what do we learn about this God who is it? Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding, overflowing in loving kindness and truth. That word loving kindness, hesed, loyal love and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. God forgives from the guttermost to the uttermost. He is a God who is so good. Yet He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And when Moses heard God's declaration of Himself, it says, and Moses made haste, Exodus 34:8, he made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Because God told him and showed him a portion of His glory, the backside of His glory, the edges of His glory, and He declared who He is. So if your thoughts of God don't match up with Exodus 34, guess what? They're not right. They're wrong. I remember seeing a t-shirt from a guy that he said, God hates you, so hate Him right back. This idea that God hates you, nothing could be further from the truth. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, and He's overflowing with loving kindness and truth. God is good, as the famous saying goes. He's good all the time, and all the time God is good. But if we get this twisted, perverted view that God hates us, that God is not for us, He's against us, that is going to affect us greatly. Now, when I was in college, I had some great Christian friends, but I remember this one friend of mine, he loved the Lord, but he struggled, as many men do, especially college students and young guys, he struggled with an impure thought life. And that just weighed heavy on him. And so he would fail in this area of lusting after women. And so I remember one day he came in and said, you know, I think that he said, I was reading in the book of Judges, and I think that this verse, it just kind of jumped off the page. I think this is what God is saying to me. And it was Judges 2:15, and this is what the verse said. Wherever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And I thought to myself, good night, that's not a good life verse. To have that picture in your mind that God is against me, that's not good at all. And let's be honest, lots of people have that, that God is against them. God hates them. God is displeased with them, that they can never do enough for God. And they try, as Martin Luther's testimony was. He tried so hard to please God, and he could never do it until he understood and read in the scripture that the righteous, the just, shall live by faith. And he said that was life-changing. It's not about trying, it's about trusting. As the song says, not about running, it's about resting in the Lord. Psalm 56, verse 9. This is a good verse to have in your mind and in your heart. As David said, this I know, that God is for me. God is for me. He's not against me. The Lord loves me. He doesn't hate me. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's me. I was lost. As I think about this, the line to this song often, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Well, that's the testimony of every believer. We were all sinking in sin. Ephesians 2, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the devil who was influencing us, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which with he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God loves you. Even in sin, God loves you. Now, he hates sin, but he loves you. And God so loved the world, but you put your name in there. God so loved you. God so loved Jeff Shreve, John 3:16. He so loved Jeff Shreve that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Father did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. That's the purpose of Jesus coming, to seek and to save that which was lost, not to be served but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Have you ever seen the movie that was so popular a number of years ago called Taken? And Taken is the story about a father going to the ends of the earth to rescue his daughter, who was kidnapped and was set to live a life in the human trafficking world and sex slavery. And he goes to the ends of the earth to rescue her. And in that last scene, you know, he's on the boat and he beats up all these guys and kills them and gets his daughter. And she said, you came for me. And he said, I told you I would. I told you I would. And I think about that and I think, if a father loves his daughter that much, that's just a glimpse of how much God loves us. When we were lost, he came to rescue us and to seek and to save that which was lost. And he went to the ends of the earth. He gave his life for you and for me to redeem us. And he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And when he died, he said, it is finished, paid in full. So all the sin debt of all the world, he paid for it. And it only becomes real to you when you repent, turn from sin, and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about the real God. What do you think of when you think about God? We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Now, This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about how you see God. What you think of when you think of God, says theologian A.W. Tozer, is really the most important thing about you. What comes into your mind? And for many, sadly, it is very negative. It should be extremely positive, but it's very negative because they believe lies. And the devil is the father of lies. He tries to make people believe lies, just like that guy I told you about. God hates you, hate him right back. And if you believe that God hates you, if you believe that God is against you, you're going to have it's going to affect your life, and you have a twisted, distorted, perverted view of God. That's what the devil does, and that's why it's so important to spend time in the Word and to rightly divide the Word of God. The Word of God is God's mind in print. And the Bible likens the Word of God to food. It's food for our soul. It's milk. Long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. It is bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's meat. It's solid food. And it's honey. And it's sweet to the taste. And so all these definitions God gives us, or these metaphors God gives us about His Word, it's definitely food for the soul. If you're not eating, you're going to be sick physically. And if you're not spending time in the Word of God, you're not going to be strong. You're going to be sick spiritually, and the lies are going to start taking over. So we combat the lies with the truth. And so we have to saturate ourselves in the Word of God and who God is and what God says about us. This I know, Psalm 56, verse 9. This I know, David said, that God is for me. Now, God is for us, but He's not for us in sin. So God is never going to be approving of our sin. He loves us. He hates our sin. And I think that's something that people today have really lost sight of. They just say, well, you know, love, they've hijacked the word love, and they say, well, you know, love, it means approval. If you love me, you will approve of me. Well, love doesn't mean approval. Some 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. So real love rejoices in the truth. If you're going to live a life of sin, love doesn't say, okay, well, that's fine. You can keep doing that. That just doesn't matter at all. It does matter. And God hates sin. He's too pure to look upon sin. When Jesus was dying on the cross for the sin of the whole world, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When He became sin on the cross, you know, He was on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Normally, you would stay on the cross for days. And if they wanted to hasten death, as they did with the two thieves who were crucified with Jesus, they would break your legs. Because on the cross, the only way to breathe was to push up on that nail that was between, hammered into your feet. And you'd have to push up that way so that your chest could get air in it. And if they broke your legs, you couldn't push up anymore and you would just suffocate and die. Well, you could be on the cross for days. Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours. He said, no man takes my life, I freely give it. I give it on my own. And so from the first 3 hours, 9 to 12, He is suffering the inhumanity of man. He's suffering the wrath of man. But then darkness covered the land from noon till 3. And as the scripture says in the book of Exodus, when God sent that ninth plague, God sent darkness for 3 days. Here He's sending it for 3 hours. Darkness is a picture of judgment. And God was judging the sin of the whole world, as the Lord was our sin bearer. He made Him who knew no sin, Jesus, who is holy, holy, holy. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And if the Lord turned away, remember what Jesus said? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, that was a reference to Psalm 22, because that's how Psalm 22 starts. And Psalm 22 is a first-person account. It's a crucified person's account of what crucifixion is. And it was written by David, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was written about crucifixion 500 years before crucifixion was ever devised by man. It's considered the most gruesome form of execution ever devised. So torturous, so painful. And it's so lengthy. And he was referring to that psalm, but he was also saying, hey, God turned his back on me. Why? Because God can't have fellowship with sin. You know, remember what the Lord said to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. God loves the Son. God is pleased with the Son. But when the Son took on the sin of the whole world, the Father couldn't have fellowship with that. His eyes are too pure to look upon sin. And he had to turn his back on his Son. Now, that speaks volumes to you and to me about the fact that although God loves us, if we continue on in sin, we are going to experience an eternity of life without God, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. That is hell. Not only is it a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, but it's just being separated from God forever and ever and ever, from all his goodness and his grace and his kindness and compassion and love. People are recipients of all that that don't know the Lord. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. They get to experience a measure of God's goodness in this world. But when you die without Christ, you're separated from all his goodness for all eternity. And so when we say that God is loving, abounding in loving kindness and truth, it's important to have those two things together, loving kindness and truth. And love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Now, you know, we've talked about this a lot, the situation with Alistair Begg when he, you know, was saying that they told this grandma, go to your relative, your granddaughter, whoever it was, grandchild's transgender wedding, and sit on the front row and bring a gift and be there to support her. Well, that's not love, because what they're doing is a perversion of marriage, and love does not rejoice in that. Can't rejoice.
Hey, this is Micah Tyler, and I want you to know that freedom from addiction is possible, and it starts at Adult and Teen Challenge.
I had been using opiates along with meth. It just took everything from me. I lost my job, we lost our house, and ended up moving into our car with our kids for about 6 months. And then once my mom took the kids, that's where it really spiraled. We ended up staying in the car for the next 2.5 years. I came into the Teen Challenge and everything's changed. Really finding the Lord, I just have this joy and this peace inside. It's the first time I've been truly sober since I was 13. I never even thought it was possible. It feels amazing.
For over 60 years, Adult and Teen Challenge has been providing hope and healing for a new drug-free future through the power of Jesus Christ. They have a variety of programs for men, women, teens, and more in hundreds of centers nationwide. You can find the center nearest you at 855-END-ADDICTION or at teenchallengeusa.org.
All right, we're back. We're having some technical problems. I keep getting dropped. You know, we air this program from Texarkana that goes to Tupelo headquarters for American Family Radio, and so we're having some phone trouble today, or some cable trouble, whatever it is, technical trouble, and so we are back. But anyway, the love of God does not mean that God approves of our sin. He does not. And God does love us, but God says, listen, I'm opposed to the proud. I give grace to the humble. If we're going to walk in sin, then we're pridefully walking. And the Lord says, okay, you're going to experience my opposition. And as Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, the Lord is able to humble those who walk in pride. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about, how do you see God? Do you have a right perspective, a biblical perspective of who God is? You know, many of us have gone to the carnival at some time in our life and walked through the house of mirrors, you know, those mirrors that distort things. And, you know, you can walk through and look at yourself and you can see yourself looking all sorts of strange kind of ways and real tall or real wide or, you know, big nose or whatever it might be. It's a house of mirrors and it distorts everything. Well, that's what people have. A house of mirrors in their minds when it comes to the Lord and when it comes to themselves. They don't see themselves correctly. You know, we want to see ourselves as much more righteous than we are. You know, when you ask the average person that doesn't know the Lord, do you think you go to heaven when you die? Well, yeah, I think so. You know, I'm a pretty good person. Well, what would you say to God? Why should he let you into heaven? Well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm a really good person and I've done some really good things. And we like to think of ourselves in glowing terms. I remember talking to this guy when I was in college, and I said, if you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, no. He said, if I died, I'd go to hell. And I was like, wow, that's the first time I've had somebody say that. And I thought to myself, you know, this guy is not, as Jesus said, this guy's not far from the kingdom. Because, you know, in order to be saved, you have to understand you're lost. And when you understand you're lost, then you're very open to salvation. When you understand that you're sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, then you begin to cry out. That's how I became a Christian. God revealed to me that I was a sinner and I was lost and I was on the highway to hell. And if I died at that moment, 17-year-old high school senior, I would go to hell because I had no basis to go to heaven. And it was that revelation that caused me to cry out to the Lord, Jesus, save me. And that was my prayer from a humble heart, from a broken heart, from an honest heart. Jesus, save me. And he did. And he will do that with anyone. Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840, and we have Steve on the line from Texas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor, I appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to get your advice on something. This is just kind of tearing me up. Can you tell me how you would handle it in your church? But we have basically at our church a lesbian couple who's coming to church, and they are literally, you know, presenting themselves as a lesbian couple. They refer to each other as, or one does at least, as her wife, which is unbiblical, obviously. And they're receiving communion. They've been baptized. Wow. I've expressed to them what they're doing is wrong. I've talked to the pastor about it. He said that he would just, that the church's view is that, you know, we don't acknowledge it as marriage and this and that, but, you know, and but he's just going to continue to love them. And I just feel like at some point there should be church discipline. Like, I mean, maybe you come to church, but you don't present yourself as a married couple, essentially, or, you know, you wouldn't allow an alcoholic to bring a bottle of vodka into church just because they're an alcoholic. I don't know. Can I get your thoughts on that?
Yeah, great question, Steve. So the way I would handle that would be, okay, what is real love? Like your pastor said, well, we just continue to love them. Well, if you're going to really love them, you're going to tell them the truth. And you're going to tell them, hey, the way you guys are living, you're on the highway to hell. The Lord makes it very clear, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that, let me turn to that because that's an important verse and people need to realize that. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. These people are deceived. Sounds like your pastor's kind of fallen in this too. Neither fornicators, those who have sex before they're married, nor idolaters, that's breaking the first commandment, first and second commandment, you shall have no other God before me, you shall not make yourself idols and worship them, nor adulterers, those who are married and having sex with somebody outside of their marriage, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, we know what those two things are, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. So real love, if you're going to say, well, we're just going to continue to love them, real love warns them. You are putting yourself in harm's way, and you do not take communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 makes it very clear. The Corinthians were taking it in an unworthy manner, and Paul said, for this reason, some of you are sick, and some of you are weak, and some of you are dead because the Lord killed you, because you were disgracing his table. And that's a serious, serious offense, and desecrating the table of the Lord. So God is serious about that. Baptizing anyone who is holding on to sin is just wrong. That's not real love. Now, you know, we struggle in a lot of ways. And there are Christians who struggle with adultery. They struggle with fornication. They struggle with all sorts of things. But that doesn't mean that that's okay. You know, if you're just giving in to sin, you know, you say, well, I struggle with fornication, so I'm living with my girlfriend, my boyfriend. Well, you're not struggling with that. You've just given in to it. So if you say, well, I struggle with homosexuality, well, that's your gay lover that you're living with. It doesn't sound like you're struggling with that. It sounds like you've given in to that. So, yeah, real love calls that out. And love is always connected to the truth. The Lord is full of loving kindness and truth. And by loving kindness and truth, Proverbs says, iniquity is atoned for. So that would be my answer to that, Steve. Thank you for calling in. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And we will be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, fighting a cold, but I think I'm hopefully on the mend. And we've been talking about our view of God. As A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, because God is the most important person in the universe. And everything is leading to Him, and our appointment with Him. We're going to stand before Him one day as Christians at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our lives as believers. What did we do with what He has given us? Did we give the Lord our best? Did we produce things in the power of the Spirit, gold, silver, precious stone, or did we live our Christian life in the power of the flesh, and all that is wood, hay, and stubble, and it's burned up as the Lord tests it in the fire? And for a non-Christian, you're going to have your day in court before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. It's a judgment of terror, of horror, and everybody at the great white throne are people who rejected the Lord, people who blew off the Lord, who neglected the Lord. And they're trusting in themselves to get themselves to heaven, and they're going to find out just how sinful they are and how holy God is. And the Lord says, I think with a broken heart, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. And they will spend forever separated from God. Well, the Lord doesn't want that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And God is a good God, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will not leave the guilty unpunished. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. And we have Portia on the line from Mississippi. Portia, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I am an avid listener just daily. I try to make to your program, and I've never say anything that I disagreed with. Put it that way, you know. I mean, it's great content, every truth, except for this morning about, it has to do with his story, and I hear it everywhere. You know, from Christians, world history is his story. Well, my goodness, if anybody, a lost person or somebody, somebody that would seek a seeker would hear that, and if they happen to know world history. To take that literally, I mean, I've just started really learning more about all that has taken place, okay, you know, in history, and I would say that is not God's story, you know. Does that make sense, you know? Does that make sense? Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that I appreciate that, Portia. Yeah, so yeah, the evil that men do, but it all fits in. So everything is about, ultimately, it's all going to end at the throne of God, because God is the creator. He's the one that we are accountable to. And so history is his story. That's kind of just a way of saying, in my mind, a way of saying, you know, this is the Lord's world. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. And the Lord has left man to be stewards of his things. As Jesus shared that parable in Luke 19 about the minas, the parable of the 10 minas, he said, It was right, you know, before he went to the cross. He was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. And he said, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And that's what the Lord was doing. And those guys were accountable to him. You know, he calls 10 of his slaves. He gave them 10 minas. That's a, you know, unit of money. Do business with this until I come back. And so that's what men are supposed to do. It says, but his citizens hated him. That's what we see in the world, primarily. None, obviously, not everybody hates him. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. That is the core of sin in a person's heart. I do not want to submit to God. I don't want him to reign over me. And so, as you said, Portia, and correctly, so history is just filled with men doing their own thing, being their own boss. As it says in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel. Each one did what was right in his own eyes. But the reality is, you're going to have to do business with God, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to return one day, and we're going to have to give an account. And so I think when people use that little line, history is his story, it's just saying, hey, it is all about Jesus. It's about paradise lost, Genesis 3, and paradise regained in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that we read about in the Old Testament, as Jesus said when he rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday morning, he said to the two guys on the road to Emmaus, you know, they couldn't recognize him, and they were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer and afterward enter into his glory?" And it says, "And beginning with Moses and with all the people, all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." So it's all about Jesus. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the one that we worship, we adore. The Father has said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." The Holy Spirit, he comes. Jesus said, "He shall glorify me." Moses and Elijah were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration to give testimony that Jesus is the Christ. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. It's all about Jesus. And he's the one that we worship and adore forever and ever and ever and ever. So I hope that that explained that a little bit, but I appreciate you checking me on that.
Well, let me just say one thing. You know, the whole world lies under the control of the evil one, 1 John 5. And so when I think of history, I think of what has happened in the worldwide, and I think that's not his story. Oh, no, that's, you know. But I agree. Yeah, everything you said is absolutely right. So as far as what you've just stated, so I appreciate it and thank you for talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Portia. I appreciate you listening to the program. Thank you for calling in today. And the number to call, we still have some time, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You know, we talked about, you know, how do you see God? That is the most important thing about you. And I just want to encourage you to have a biblical view of God. God is not the God you think he is or that you want him to be. He is the God who is. And we need to have a biblical view of God, just like we need to have a biblical view of the world and what is going on. We used to talk about a Christian worldview, but it's not a Christian worldview because that's gotten so polluted. It's a biblical worldview. We need to know from the scripture, okay, what does the Bible say about this? Because I have to look at life through the lens of scripture and not look at scripture through the lens of culture and life. And, you know, God does things that we don't understand. He says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts." You know, we had that little phrase from Charles Sheldon, the book, In His Steps, and they asked that question, "What would Jesus do? WWJD. Well, listen, so much of the time we have no idea what Jesus would do because his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we don't know what he would do. We want to walk in the light as he himself is in the light. But in a given situation, you know, what would Jesus do? Hey, Lord, they've run out of wine. Oh, what would Jesus do? Well, he would have them fill stone pots with water and then draw it out, and the water becomes wine. He can do things we can't do, and so we just have to trust him, and we have to spend time in his word and walk in his ways, and knowing when we do that, we are pleasing to him, and we do shine, and we do share, and we make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to be. You boil it all down, the Christian life, what is it about? It's all about Jesus, and it's all about you and me being faithful witnesses. Be faithful unto death, the Lord says, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, we have Melinda on the line from Texas. Melinda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I just had a question. How would you give a biblical response to people who say that Adam and Eve were brother and sister?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one before. Yeah, Adam and Eve were, you know, Eve was created from Adam. Adam was created from the dust, and Eve was created from the side. of Adam, the Lord performed the first surgery. And when Adam saw her, he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has been taken out of man." So it's not a brother and sister relationship. Now, they had children. There were just two people that God created, Adam and Eve. And Adam gives, you know, she was called woman, and then he gives her the name Eve because she's the mother of all living, it says in Genesis chapter 3. And they had children. Now, we read about Cain, we read about Abel, we read about Seth. And then we read that Adam had other sons and daughters. Well, Adam had a lot of sons and daughters because through Adam and Eve, the world was populated and then destroyed in the flood and then repopulated through Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Mrs. Noah. So you do have brother and sister that are intermarrying early on, because that's the only way you can populate the earth. And God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And so they had lots and lots and lots of children. I wouldn't be surprised if Eve had 100 children. I mean, they lived for a long time. Adam lived to be 930 years old. And so, you know, the earth was different before the flood. The lifespans go down after the flood. But before the flood, people lived a long time. The longest living person was Methuselah, 969 years. And that was a purpose for him to live that long, because when he was born, the son of Enoch, the Lord had told Enoch, as you read between the lines, that judgment is coming when this guy dies. And the name Methuselah literally means it shall be sent when he dies. It shall be sent when he is gone. And the flood, if you do the math, the flood came in the same year that Methuselah died. He lived the longest of any person, just to show you how long the patience of God is with sinners like you and me. Well, I hope that's helpful, Melinda.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor Shreve. I enjoy listening to you every morning. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate that so much. It is a joy to get to come on the radio every day and every morning to share with you guys. And so thanks for listening, and thanks for the calls and the encouragement. It means a lot. Now, you can reach me if you have a question or comment. You can reach me, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. From His Heart is the radio and television ministry of the preaching ministry from First Baptist Church in Texarkana, and we take those sermons and we send them out to the nation and around the world in through radio, television, and through the internet. And so we're pleased to partner with American Family Radio. We have for many, many years now. We air every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, and it's been a great, great privilege to be on such a wonderful station as American Family Radio. And Tim Wildman and Allison are just wonderful friends, and we were in Tupelo last week, and it was great to see them and Wesley and just be in Bert and Jan and be around some of the guys from American Family Radio. Randy Lucius, our engineer, I got to see him as we did the program from Tupelo last week, and so that's a special, special time. Well, let me encourage you as we get ready to sign off. Let me encourage you to spend time in the Word of God, to let the truth of God really govern your mind and your heart. Listen, the Bible tells us to take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your minds dwell on these things. Don't dwell on lies. Dwell on the truth. And the truth is, the Lord does love you. And the truth is, Jesus said as a believer, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And He is with you always. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you, Lord, are with me. And God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you in great ways. So go out today, shine for Christ the way you live, and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you. And the Lord will be glorified in you. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.